Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good.
Hello, ballers, and welcome to the SC Ballers NRL Supercoach Podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Well, round five delivered on the pain front. If you dodged the carnage, congratulations. You are likely a King Gutho owner and hopefully a captainer. It was tough going away from King Gutho, Payne Haas, Jaden Campbell failing to fire, plus a spate of hamstring injuries at the Bunnies, including popular Cheapy and baller favourite Jamie Humphries. Away from misfiring captains, Cheapies and Pods, we were left wondering how physics made its way into the NRL discourse. But never fear, round six is here and we're pressing on. Tonight we'll dig into the fallout from Latrell's pass and the Bunnies' hamstring crisis and what it means for the Rabbitohs moving forward, the ever-shifting fullback landscape, and whether it's time now to get aggressive with trades and boosts or play it safe with some solid-looking cheapies on the bubble. Joining me tonight, just the two of us, coach of the Casabin Eaters, it's Danny Boy Ricks. Dan, welcome back to the SC Ballers podcast.
Yeah, g'day, Matty. It's been a little while since I've been on, so good week to come on. Been up and about. King Gutho celebrations on the weekend. Very
yes,
nice.
Yes, very good.
As you said, this week it's so this is the pivotal week, I think. You can really sort of stay stock standard with getting some cheapies, or you can start to push hard. A few people come in to be priced out, few juicy premiums on the offer to really bolster your squad. So, yeah, it'll be really interesting. Do you boost, do you not? How aggressive do you go, or you just stick to the template? So, yeah, looking forward to it.
I feel like this year more than ever, it's been like every week has like, okay, this is the week about halfback, or this is the week about second row. And this week does feel like the second rower's week.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's just those big guys. I mean, they're all getting attack as well, those big second rowers. Mm-hmm. There's the meat and potatoes men that most people started with, the likes of Tino, Horsburgh, that sort of thing. Now it's really a time to pivot. But those second rower cheapies have come on the market as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. How'd you end up on the weekend?
Yeah, really good week. Big bounce back from my kind of survival of round four. So 13.08, back into the top 1,000 at 900th. Very happy with the position. Really the debate for me as well is, do I keep pushing and pressing this week, or do I just reserve it, get hard again a bit later, closer to the buys? How about yourself?
Yeah, no, I had a good week. I had 13.05, I think, or 13.06, which was good enough to see me back into the top 500. So 497 overall, really happy. Glad to have Tom Turbo in the rearview mirror. I captained Gutho as well, which was the big call. It was between him or Jaden Campbell, and thankfully went Gutho for his 130. So really happy about that. But I was the biggest highlight of the weekend, Dan, was catching all the action on the baller.live app. With the ultra fast live updates,
it's so good. I love it. Like I'm, you know, one of the top 10 sickos of Supercoach going around. So when I'm watching, I want to make sure the stats for my players have been allocated. And SC Ball, it's basically within a couple of seconds, it's allocated to the website. So
yeah,
very happy with that. Nice look, nice template. I mean, you probably had some influence there with your design background, Matty.
I wouldn't go that far. They keep me away from UX. But yeah, no, it's the big thing for me is just the mobile first aspect. Like it's built for mobile. So you don't have to scroll ads out of the way, don't have to, you know, go click through into 17 different buttons to try and find what you're looking for from a score. And like you said, you see a play happen on the field and then the score's there ready to go. So you know, if you've captained Nico and he's gone over for a try, and has he got the line break or has he not? It's there instantly. So, yeah, look, I the feedback from the community was amazing, and the support from the community was fantastic on Friday when we put it out there to everyone. So I hope everyone's enjoying it. Please go check it out, baller.live. We had some more good meetings so far this week around what's coming next to baller.live, and we have been teasing it for a while, but I'm glad we finally dropped something into market. And something that we know everybody wants, and that's fast updates. So plenty more to come. It's been fantastic. Obviously, to go along with that, we've had some amazing content going out as well. Shout out to Gramsy and the movies again. Hit it off this week. We've got lots of break-even content and expected tries, really leaning into the analytical component of Supercoach and what makes, what your favorite players are in for this week, and help, hopefully we're going to be looking to help with, decisions around sit starts, captains, and trade. So yeah, some really good content. Please keep checking us out on all the socials, X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We're streaming live to YouTube today for the first time. So if you're hearing this, make sure you go check us out on YouTube. Really helps. Please give us a like or subscribe. Like I said, really helps us get to a bigger audience, and that's what we're trying to do. Grow Supercoach, grow the community, and it's all a lot of good fun. Dan, speaking of the community, our league code, so league code 730444, 5K worth of prizes in that league, as I mentioned, and we've got a new leader in there this week.
Yeah. What's his name? Wham Bam Ezra Mam, Big Bill. Big Bill, 10th overall, followed closely, very close, 50 points away is the Stanthorpe Steamer, Nathan in second. And then very close behind him is our very own contributor, C-Mac from the C-Mac 86ers. Finished 86th overall last year. He's pushed his way into the top 30 at 28th. Just having not putting a foot wrong, you know. I think, you know, all of us are kind of asking him on Wednesday, Thursday, what his trade moves are, so we can kind of follow him in, because he's just going exceptionally.
I swear to God, we'll chat in on Saturday about captains, and he's got going up. I'm locking in Gutho, and I'm like, that's good enough for me. And I can't say that I wouldn't have captained Gutho, but I'm like, I'm not. If Chris is on him, he's the man with the golden touch at the moment. So well done, C-Mac.
Unbelievable. And what about this week? What about he said, oh, I might not make any trades. I'm like, how is your team so good that you could just sit back and watch it? Like, you know, he's in a great position. Any week in these first sort of 6-7 rounds that you can make zero trades, you're absolutely on fire. So, yeah, well done to him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Final shout-out in the leagues to Hayden, coach of Sticky Ricky, who won the week. He had a massive 14-51. So well done, Hayden. I will say, Dan, just to round out our intro, that we had a few comments on the site, on the website, on the weekend, ball.live. My favorite was elite reinvention of the wheel. We couldn't work out if that was a compliment or a dig. We're going to take it as a compliment and a slight dig. But, yeah, look, it's stuff that exists already, but just, like I said, it's so much faster and in a much better design for you to enjoy your Supercoach.
Well, it's phase one too, isn't it? There's about 10 phases to go. So,
50 phases, Dan. 50 phases.
Oh, all right. yeah, but I mean, I enjoy getting the feedback on the socials as well. Like, just keep putting it out there, just to, you know, get that user experience. And I've got plenty of tips for you. I know I'm sending a few across, but keep them coming.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the Baller Blueprint tonight, Dan. And I thought it was an opportune time for us to go through boost strategy. Shout out to Aman from Aman Talk Supercoach. He put on the he put out a poll on Twitter today, which was very interesting, around how many boosts have you done before this weekend? So how many boosts have you got left? And interestingly, 45% of Supercoaches said they had three left. I've got three left currently. How many do you have leading into this weekend?
I've also got three left. So yeah, use two.
His data checks out.
Slightly low on the 100% of this podcast.
What's your strategy been with boosts this year? Are you kind of taking it one week at a time, just seeing when they fit, or have you gone out to be more aggressive with boosts?
I think the opportunity is there to be aggressive with boosts early on as much as possible. Last year, I think I held a boost through the whole season. So it got so late in the year that I just didn't have enough trades left to really boost in any weeks, you know. So
you needed the trades.
Needed the trades. So I think it's definitely worthwhile being aggressive. The one reason I wouldn't boost is kind of going too sideways though. So, you know, it's really about structuring your team and getting the best balanced but powerful team early on. And if a boost allows that week to week in the first few weeks, I'm more than happy to boost. So if it's really just a bit sideways, it's not really strengthening your points for that week. It's more just, oh, he might make some money, but the other guy's making money. It's a little bit up in the air. I think you can definitely hold back on that. But yeah, certainly to strengthen your team at the moment, get as many points as possible early on, stay around the top, because that's very important.
Yeah, I'm completely in agreement there. I I don't force it if I don't have to. So last week I could have boosted Metcalf up to Pappenhausen. But what actually stopped me from definitely doing it last week, I was getting a bit of FOMO come Sunday, but you kind of got to look at your team for the week as well. Like for that's a real luxury boost that would have been for me. And I actually didn't need Pappenhausen to play. I would have had to have sat Tino or something like that come that time. So you certainly need to take that sort of stuff into consideration as well. I think given it, looking at that data, so I'll just give it a quick readout. So 0-1 boosts left, 7%, 2 boosts left, 32%, 3 boosts left, 45%, and 4-5 boosts left, 15.7%. That really shows a trend now more to people using boosts early season. There was a bit of when they first came out a couple of years ago that you should save your boosts for the buy period. But I think now the prevailing thinking is that you should use them early to get your team set up as quickly as possible and maximize the value of those trades and boosts.
Yeah, no, exactly right. I think my plan this year is to probably save one for the first buy round. So rather than focus on buys right now and try to bring people in 4 or 5 rounds out of the buys in for the buy period, I think that's what can really burn you a bit, is like injuries come up, teams change, origin selection. So then you're scrambling and you might not have the boost. And in those origin rounds as well, you can do an extra trade. So I think a 4-trade round in an origin period, particularly for the first one, is very, very useful. So I'll probably be happy to use 4 prior to that first origin period buy.
Yeah, I think that's right too. And I think it's even more important this year to start using your boosts early because of just the max cash generation that's going on. So there's bulk bunts just floating about in Supercoach, in everyone's Supercoach team. Team values, there's not a massive difference. Like you're talking sort of 300,000 to 400,000 between most teams, which is obviously a good bit of bicky, but it's not a ton. And there's just, like, you can really get a good, most players are going to be able to get a fairly good team fairly quickly this year. And we'll obviously get into that later on in the positional analysis. But yeah, I thought just it was worthwhile touching on boosts. Just given that I think a lot of people are looking to use a boost this weekend with the fullback situation still prevailing itself and some good cheapies on the radar. So, let's get into the positional analysis now, Dan, anyway, starting at hooker. So hooker's taken a bit of a dark turn, I want to say, just as a start here. Harry Grant, obviously been the best hooker in Supercoach for the last few years, is really having a down season. He's down to 605K now, sort of equaled out with a break-even of 63. People have been bulk selling him off, Dan. I think he's at a point now where you certainly can't sell him, and the question is probably more around for you know, the Storm's run. Is Harry that attacking weapon that you know, you could jump on before the, but you know, for that first big score, which is, you know, it's got to be inevitably coming.
Yeah, he's a proven gun, Supercoach wise and rugby league wise. Like I feel it's just a matter of time for Harry. His injury against the Dragons didn't look great. He was limping around. He still played on and continued, and obviously he showed not many signs of being injured on the weekend. The only sign is just his base stats have gone right down. So, You know, he's maybe not getting as involved, and there's just so much attacking prowess at the Storm. Like, does he have to do as much as he has done previously? You know, it's just, it is what I talked about early on with the Broncos early season. Everyone was trying to jump on all of them. It's like, how many Storm now can you take for the run that they've got coming up? I certainly think Harry is great value at 600K. Like, I think it's an absolute pod move, and I wouldn't be against anyone bringing him in this week just due to their run for the next 4. So I think owners should definitely hold.
Agree. Yeah, well, like you look at someone like Wade Egan, who's 608K. He's had a fantastic start to the year. He's more purchased this week than Harry at this stage. He's had that 80-minute role, just sort of getting it done in terms of, you know, averaging 75 points. He's never played. He's never had a season where he's averaged 80. He's obviously had a lot of head knocks and concussions same thing, but he's obviously had a lot of that in his history, so struggled to get through that 80. Is there anything in his game that you're seeing to suggest that he can match someone like Harry?
Well, more just that there's no one really floating on the bench anymore. I think, you know, Freddie Lussick, a few others that used to kind of be on, so there was always that risk he was going to get lower minutes. Warriors always like heavy through the middle. I think possibly as well, just the way that Warriors are playing this year, it's less reliant on that sweeping out the back play and attack. So there's a bit more ball player through the middle, a bit more attacking opportunity for Egan. And he is a very good player. It's just, you know, as you said, there's always a head knock around the corner, it seems, with him, or a lower leg injury, something like that. So, I mean, if you just disregard that, I think he's a very good player. Whether I'd buy him at 600K or not, he's not, you know, I'd much rather go to Harry Grant than Egan, particularly this far out from Origin.
I know a lot of people are starting to want to jump off your likes of Tom Starling and Mamazelis this week. So people are in the market for a hooker. I just don't think that it's the best week to be buying a hooker, like personally. Like, yeah, you could take a punt on Harry Grant, but I kind of want to see it, but he'd be where I'm going. Then you got the likes of Connor Watson and Max Plath, whose roles both look good. They've had a week back from injury. Watson has. I just don't know. I think I'd rather have another week at hooker. Like, it's not must traded hooker this week.
I think that's right. Like, there's other, you know, cheapies on offer. I think some people are probably looking at that hooker as the upgrade option. So the likes of Starling at 500K, you can switch up a Connor Watson or a Max Plath to that hooker position, and the plethora of second rows that are available at the moment. So I don't think there's a hooker swing on the option on the cards this week, but certainly there's a second row forward premium upgrade or a cheapy option if you've got those jewels.
Correct. And that just shows the value of the jewel to start with someone like Connor Watson, like in the 2RF, which is what I did. And I'm not giving myself a pat on the back here, but it is just so valuable to get to a point here where I can sell Tom Starling to a Siwa Wong or, you know, Eli Katoa. It just makes it so much easier. And Connor Watson obviously could turn out to be a top three hooker anyway. So, yeah, that's really come to fruition for me this week.
Yeah, and looking at end game solutions, I think your probably best bet is to have a gun hooker and then a gun hooker replacement in the second row, and then you're probably nuffing out post-Origin to Kalani going from the Warriors, who is your bench hooker. Because I just feel you're never really going to play two hookers. You're never going to play that on reserve. And that's probably the perfect nuff solution in that area. So say you had Harry Grant, Connor Watson, and enough, and you could just flip those guys up. That would be what I'd be doing.
Yeah, Kalani's going to butchered that. Kalani going to give you a lot of flex. You got to get going. Can't do Jono proud. Anyway, anything else there at hooker, Dan? While we're riffing, Riley Smith, he started on the bench on the weekend. That was a bit of a blow.
Bit of a blow to owners. I think his base isn't quite there at the moment. His attack, I mean, he looks like a very attacking hooker. Behind that Parramatta pack, though, it's just going to be, you know, short on options. I really like Joseph Bolo being back for Parramatta. I think he's added a lot to their go forward. The last couple of weeks has shown, even against Bulldogs, they looked a lot better with that. But I think they're just did I say Joey Paulo?
Junior Paulo?
Junior Paulo, sorry. Junior
Joseph Paulo, Captain America. It's not him.
Paulo is definitely brought a little bit to that Parramatta pack. But, yeah, he's still very, very fresh. Hasn't shown the numbers at the moment in base. Not likely to get, I mean, he might switch around. No good for Hopgood earners there. Don't know if he'll get Jewel in the next few weeks. Maybe if he keeps starting at hooker.
I just looked up Junior Paulo. Do you know he's gone 67-76 last 2 weeks? Big Junior in 58 and 72 minutes. What's going on there? I didn't even know that he was back. He was like a top three front row forward 5 years ago.
They definitely need him, Parramatta. Like, they've been really struggling on the front foot, so they're going to need him to play big minutes. Probably a good segue into front row forward there, Matty.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I had no idea. Like, I haven't looked into why he had such big minutes on the weekend, but it's good to see him back playing, you know, with a bit of output, because he has struggled for a couple of years, big junior or Joey, as you like to call him, Dan. I want to start at front row, Dan. I want to start with Naf White. So he's now 551K. His BE is back to being positive, I'm fairly sure. I'll just get that one up. BE of 37. So he's got a little bit more cash to make. He's looking good. He's got 55 and 49 on the weekend. Lindsay Collins is gone for 6 weeks or so with a, I think he did a medial, was it? So he's gone. So there's minutes to be had still in the middle there. With the options that are on the table this week, like your Cants and Egan's and Eli Katoa's, Siwa Wong's, could you feasibly look at selling Naf White now, or would you be, you know, it seems like you'd have to be more than happy to hold and just see how he plays out as your sort of third front rower or bench 2RF?
I think he's the perfect third front rower. Like, his base plus power 57, so he's still slight value at 550K. So I don't think he's maxed out. Roosters have a good buy period as well. So I guess you probably just want to look at how many Roosters you're carrying at the moment. They've got the buy in round 10. But certainly he's a massive hold. Like, I'd probably keep those two ultra premiums in May and Huss as the two front row forwards. And if you've got him, I wouldn't be bringing in another gun front row forward. I'd be holding for the year.
What about, obviously, you've got Tino there as well. I suppose, like, you could eventually sell White if Tino becomes your... You'd probably just leave Tino in 2RF, though, wouldn't you?
You would, definitely. Yeah. So, yeah. And also, you know, like this week, Tino out, you could switch Naf right down. I think he's still a play in most 17s, most weeks, particularly as that 15th, 16th, 17th player. That duality just gives him that little bit more flex as well. I think, you know, the idea is, if you've got Naf White and Horsburgh, who would you trade out first at the moment?
Well, that is a good question. I think I would still trade Naf White if I had both and if my team was set up in the right way. What do you think?
Well, right now I would probably get Naf White if I needed to make the trade to an ultra premium. But I think longer term I'd probably have Naf White. If I'm holding both of them for the next three rounds and they both get to similar price, I think I'd probably hold Naf White. Just Ricky Stewart, we've seen with Starling for the last two weeks now, like, he was looking like he was getting 60, 70 minutes. He looked like he had a lock roll coming back on. Starling's now that 50 to 55 minute hooker, and he's coming off and he doesn't even look like warming up again. So I feel that may happen to Horsburgh at some stage. And I think Naf White has proven himself now that he's good enough to sustain the minutes. And he's definitely got some attacking prowess in him.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with Naf White as a rugby league player. He's really filled out his rig. He's got an engine. Like, he can play those bigger minutes if required. He's had a couple of games this year where he's played 57. So yeah, I'd be with you. I'd be holding Naf White if I had that decision this week. I do understand, though, that some super coaches are in a position where they have to sell someone to fund other trades, and it's just about thinking carefully about what you're getting on the other side of that Naf White trade and what you're losing. So very much team dependent. Looking at the premiums now, Dan, it was a pretty tough week for Payne Haas owners. Terrell May still got it done. I think, did he get 72 or something? Pretty incredible, Terrell. Just best engine going. He got 69 points in 70 minutes. Payne Haas, Dan, his minutes were way down. The boys spoke about it at length on the Sunday snap, so we won't get too into it here. AFB scored 73 in 55 on the weekend. Very impressive. He certainly looks like he's on an upward swing for the 21% of the super coaches who own him.
Yeah, I really like him this week as a purchase, but it's especially to solidify that third front row forward, and then you basically set and forget. 660K, I think his price is at. His base plus power is 65. I think Sharks losing a few games now, they're going to have to use him and utilize him.
Well, I like that.
The interesting stat is he's had one offload. That's it. And we know he's got that offload in him. So one offload in five rounds. That's just well under par for him. So I think they need something, the Sharkies. They're going to need to play him big minutes. They're going to need his attacking ball playing as well. And how many times have we seen an AFB crossing the try line? Like, you know, we know it's coming. So, you know, I've got the debate whether to go Eli Katoa or AFB this week, something like that. I mean, at the prices, 750K Eli Katoa versus a 660K AFB. I'm pretty keen on AFB. It's just that front row forward, you know, congestion that's going on at the moment that's stopping me a little bit.
What are you doing with your, just a question without notice, what are you doing with your nuffs there at front row if you get AFB? Do you move one of them down to the second row to run a second row nuff and then a front row nuff, and then you'll end up with going as well? So sort of a three nuff final team?
Yeah, it's a bit of a debate this week with someone like a Dylan Egan available, is whether you just sideways trade enough that you might have to him because he's going to be another cash generator. I just think there's so much cash available this year, you nearly just want to leave those nuffs alone because it's an extra two trades that you're probably looking at then, and they're going to be really vital back end of year. So, yeah, if I've got three front rowers, I'm going to be running one nuff in the second row, one nuff in the front row.
Yep, and then you're able to switch up Tino if you're really desperate up to front row.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, that makes sense. Speaking of premium front rowers, Dan, Joey Tappany, 91 on the weekend. He's averaging 78 for the season. Probably he had 59 minutes on the weekend. Just massive base plus power numbers. He's got the offload going. The minutes are just all over the place, and we alluded to it before. Just Ricky, just how do you know? How can you trust it? The thing you can trust, though, is probably Tappany's form.
Yeah, he's an absolute gun. We know with the minutes that he gets, if he does consistently get, you know, 65-plus minute, he's end game front row forward. He's just going to get Ricky rolled at some stage. Like, it's just you can't trust it. There's so many options at the moment that you just can't put your faith in Ricky to leave him on the field when you need him.
I'm already starting to worry about Matty Nicholson, but he's been good to me so far. So yeah, I'd agree with that. Like he's a nice price, 681, but really his time will probably come when they've got a few injuries and he's got to lead the pack, and you can sort of lock him in for that 55 plus minutes when that happens. Yep.
Yeah, I think for him v AFB, it's sort of like 66 base plus power versus 70 base plus power, which is huge for Tappany, but he's been triggering the offload nonstop, like five offloads on the weekend. So if that dries up a little bit, AFB's pumps up, I think he's definitely the superior option there.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
Let's move down to 2RF now, Dan, and very, very interesting week as we pointed out at the top of the podcast. There's a lot going on. There's some premium options, mid-range option, and the cheapies. Let's start with the premiums, get them out of the way, hey? So the big one on everyone's lips at the moment is Eli Katoa. He's 751K coming off a score in the 90s against Manly on the weekend. He's averaging 83 now, and he hasn't even had the good draw yet, which comes up now. So for those unaware, Storm come on a very positive fixture swing, which let's just get it up. They play the Warriors at home this week in Melbourne. Then they play the Dolphins away, Souths at home, Canberra at Magic Round in Brisbane, followed by the Tigers at home. And then they've got Sharks round 11 away leading to their round 12 bye. So that's five games plus Sharks, which is just buffet, really. So they'll be very short price favourites in all those games. Plenty of tries expected to be scored. Eli Katoa, Dan, looks like, if not their most attacking, their most likely attacking threat, certainly top two. He was setting up tries on the weekend. He's been scoring them close to the line, far from the line. They look for him. They kick to him. Like, he's just got it all. He's just the ultimate package for Supercoach.
Yeah, I mean, the Storm even brought in him on the sweep on the weekend. So he's getting that fullback sweep and getting the try assist. you look at his stats, you know, and you go, oh, 57 base plus power, it's not too bad. Like, he has gotten an attacking stat every week, and I could nearly I'd probably say he's going to at least average one attacking stat every single week, right? I think even over one perhaps, just looking how good he is, how fit he's stripping. I don't think he's put a foot wrong. I think injury would be the only thing stopping him, but he's probably the number one 2RF in the game right now. And if you can get him in this week in any way, I would be, you know, I would say do it.
Yep. Yep, I can't disagree. He was in the first trades I made post-lockout yesterday. He was in them. I've since made a little change there, which I'll touch on in a minute. But, yeah, I want him desperately. He could easily average. Yeah, it's hard to see a world where he doesn't average 80 unless he gets injured in the next month.
Yeah, yeah. My predicament this week is I might have to boost to get him in. And whether I need to be that aggressive at the moment, again, it's a big consideration for me, but I really want him in the next 2 to 3 rounds. He will definitely be in my side at some stage.
Dan, a premium 2RF who was very popular at the start of the year, he's currently 14% owned in the game, is Isaiah Yeo, 649K. He had a bounce back to form on the weekend with a score of 84, I believe, 85. Yeah, that included a try assist. He had 57 in base, which is pretty good. But yeah, he had the creative stat, which really bumped him up. He just hasn't looked quite the same so far as AO, but he's got to a price now, 649K, break even of 55, which makes him look, if you think that he's going to get back to that sort of 75 average, then he's bottomed out at a great price.
Yeah, he's just not getting any kind of power stats at the moment. Like he's averaging a 50 base plus power at 55. It's maybe what you expect, but you know he's going to get the minutes there, particularly with Panthers not going so well. He's shown a couple of attacking opportunities that he's taken advantage of this year. We know that Origin is looming. Does he have that attacking upside? I'm not sure. It just doesn't excite me as much as the likes of an Eli Katoa or an Olakuatu. So I just don't think he's up there for that attacking opportunity as those guys.
I wonder how that Jack Cole being dropped, which has just come out this afternoon, Blaise Talagi will start at 5'8 now. I wonder how that will impact Yeo and if he'll be expected to do a bit more of the ball playing close to the line.
He possibly will. You know, I think we've seen how good Blaise Talagi is at the sort of sweep plays, playing sort of second, third receiver there. Certainly could, you know, obviously you have to watch this week, but yeah, certainly could be. Does that help Yeo or do they start to play, you know, 2 or 3 passes wide? That's the real question. So
I don't think that matters if they do though, because I think that's fine, because I think that's just what happens anyway. I think it's more, does he get his ball? Is he passing the ball more in the red zone? Because if he is passing in the red zone, he's shown that he can put guys through holes. He did on the weekend. It's not going to take anything away from him. Put it that way, yeah. I don't think. Sure. Like he'll get his work done between the 20s. And then yeah, if he can get a bit of attack. But yeah, I think it's just one for people's radar as a bit of an option. Siwa Wong, 509K. He was the big talking point coming out of the weekend. 119 points. He's averaging 74 minutes per game, which is obviously really strong. Take out I sent you a message this morning, actually, Dan. If you take out the score he had in the first game, which when they got towed up by the Roosters, he's actually averaging, you know, really, really, really impressive numbers, sort of that 0.9 base plus power per minute. And if he is getting that 80 minutes, he just looks like a no-brainer to me as someone you can lock away in your second round, 500K. Not so much to make cash, although I think he will make cash, just as the rock-solid mid-range option that you wanted at the start of the year, but it's really prevailed now that he is that guy who you wanted as your mid-range 2RF. He's got a great buy schedule, break-even of minus 24, 9% owned. I think people will go to him this week, but not in droves. I think there'll be a bit of a too-late mentality. I just think the role he has in that team now, Lindsay Collins gone, like we said, means Vic Radley is pull play lock and middle. They've had a lot of problems. They've got a very young bench. I think that I think with the injuries they have, that Robbo's shown that he's really happy to rely on him now.
Yeah, I think, you know, Collins' injury, and then the big positive for me is Nat Butcher being named at prop. So obviously intent to not play him on an edge anymore. I think he's come on and played mostly middle as well. And we got Crichton and Wong basically holding those big minute roles on the edge. So I can almost say I'm certain that he's going to get those minutes now, even going forward. Obviously had a lot of faith. It's taken him a while to get adjusted to the speed of NRL, but certainly one you can lock in at the moment. Probably the consideration is how many Roosters do you have? How many do you plan on having? Round 10 bye again. I think if you're thinking about Wong as a cash generator, you forget about it. Like, you're basically correct. picking up Wong this week to have in your side long term to play as probably 2RF 1, 2, or 3, maybe as the last reserve. But, I mean, you're probably looking at a fullback, two halves, and maybe this year a front row forward as your bench spots. So don't overload yourself with 2RF. That would be the other consideration. You do not want 5 playable 2RFs going forward at the moment.
What? No, not 5 ones who you have to who do I sit this week?
Yeah.
It's okay to have one of those guys, but yeah, you really need to be saving your bench spots for fullback, center wing, 5'8" halfback, you know, depending on your structure. But, you know, you can't really afford to have two guys on your bench at 2RF each week. So yeah, so look, I think what you said just on the Roosters buy schedule, you're right. You can't have, like, more than ever this year, you need balance. Of course, you can't have too many from the same team. But yeah, they have a buy in round 10, which is obviously very manageable. Then they don't have a buy until round 14. Now that's a good round to have a buy because they play the first major buy round and round 13. I remember last year it was very tricky, those rounds straight after the major buy round, because 3 teams are on the buy that week. So that makes it very difficult to fill out your full 18. Now the Roosters just have a fantastic draw for that sort of thing. So they have buy in 14 and then 17. So that means they play both all 3 major buy rounds, 12, 15, 18. And then they also play the week after every major buy round as well. So I think if you are going to stack a team, especially with forwards, I mean, this is just talking me more into Naff White if I have him as well. But yeah, I just think so much value in CY Wong's price. If he keeps that 80-minute role, I can't see him averaging less than 65. So there's 15 to 16 points of value there straight off the bat. And go with the buy coverage as well. And he could even average more than that. Like, he looks that good a player to me. He's obviously taken a while to come of age at NRL level, but I think we're seeing that now. He looked really good against the Bunnies on the weekend. And yeah, I'm certainly very keen on buying him this week. And would you say it's now or never with that minus 24 break even? Probably. Yep.
That's it. It's now or never, basically.
Where Ellie Katoa, it's not now or never.
No, definitely not. No, I mean, you know, the run of Melbourne is, yeah, definitely enticing Ellie Katoa right now. From the points perspective, but the value perspective, you know, what about that drop? Is Katoa 750, Wong 500? Will they average 25 points between them? You know, Ellie jumping up? I don't think so. I think there's going to be Wong's going to be closer
they
than
they could.
That.
I agree. Could, they yeah. could. Ellie could. But yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, I'm hopefully planning to have both, hopefully by next week, but you never, that could be a bit hard. We'll have to see how we go. Anyway, that's enough about me waxing lyrical about the prospects of CY Wong. Let's move down to the cheapies now, Dan, and this is probably the biggest talking point of the week. Thomas Cant, 274K, minus 66 break even. He is named in the second row for the Knights. He should play on that left edge. Dylan Lucas not back this week and not expected. From Adam O'Brien's tone, I don't think he's going to be back the week after either with that hamstring, Dan. They initially said 6 weeks. I can't imagine they'd think about rushing him back if they've initially said 6 weeks unless they're playing big smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, I mean, someone like Dylan Lucas as well, you want to make sure he's fully fit. He's so essential to that side, an absolute weapon. So, and look, they found a great replacement in Thomas Carnes. I've been very impressed with him his first couple of rounds. Huge work output. You can see the effort is there as well. Even he went to center on the weekend, he was still trucking the ball
mental.
Up. You know, diving, you know, he did a better job on Bronson Jerry than the Sharks did the week before. So Yeah, very, very impressed. I think he's going to see this as his opportunity, as this is my chance to make a name for myself. He's going to be in everything. And the fact that he's potentially going to make 200K in the next 2 weeks, it's kind of a perfect cheapie at the moment. You know, downside, he might get dropped to the bench when Lucas
I've run
is
some
back.
Numbers here, Dan.
Yeah, give him
I've
to
run
me.
Some numbers. So the worst case scenario, presuming he starts on Sunday. Now, that is, I will say right now that it's a risk because they could shuffle the pack. But presuming he starts at second row on Sunday, if he goes 65, then 30, and remembering that he had 51 in base plus power from the centers on the weekend, and he had 78 in base plus power against the Titans in their game prior. If he goes 65, then 30, given Lucas might be back and he'll revert back to the bench, he's going to make 139, 140K. So I think that's your worst case scenario. I think he's proven himself too good a player to be left out of the 17 entirely. If he goes 65, 65, 30 in his next three games, he'll make 185K. So that's Lucas back in 3 weeks' time. I think those are your very worst case scenarios. Best case scenario is he goes 80, 80, 80, forces Pierce Paul out of the team or into the middle, or he gets a middle role himself. I just think that, you know, or Dylan Lucas is slow back from his hamstring. I just see way more upside in making fast money from Thomas Cant. Probably, and the person we'll talk about next, Dylan Egan, is not a bad buy by any means, but I just see more value, even though he's 80K more expensive, in going for Cant and as a bigger upside player to make quick money.
Yeah, for sure. And he's cheap enough at 275K. Like, I feel like these guys with the huge negative break-evens at the 400, 500K and you're trying to make quick money. I guess we saw it a bit with Shibasaki on the weekend. You know, like, he was 400K, going to make more cash, and then comes out, gets a 30, and it's really stifled his attack or his cash for the next couple of weeks now. So I think Khan is definitely cheap enough that you can just go there. And the upside to that is, you know, it could be huge. He could be if he has the opportunity, definitely an end game second row forward off the bench for you there.
Well, the other thing about him is you put him in your team. He's eminently playable.
He's definitely playable this week.
You put him straight in. A little risk on the team shuffle this week, like that he does go to center. I don't know why O'Brien would name Kyle McCarthy. I presume that's for a debut. I've never heard of him. On the wing, if he wasn't going to play him on the wing, like they've kind of got it really stuff around with their structures. You know, we've got Gagai at right center, Best at left. I just don't think it's worth it. Dylan Egan, 199K. If you can't afford Cant, and I look, I'm not saying Dylan Egan is a bad buy at all. I think he's a really good buy, you know, on any other normal week. He's 199K minus 38 break even. He's slightly less purchased so far this week, but I expect that to be quite even. Dan, if he makes his 50 every week, he's going to make that sort of 200, 250K. Over the next sort of 6-7 weeks, which is great, right? One, how long do you want to keep him? Two, I think the upside with Egan is that he gets another injury in the Dragons pack and he actually starts on the edge, at which point you're really off to the races. So I can see an argument for that. Like, Luch hasn't been going amazing this year. Could he drop him for Luch? Maybe. I don't know. Is he ready for that? He's certainly looking good in this combined middle edge role. So I can see, I just think they're just both amazing buys. I just think I think if Egan ends up being a more slower burner, I just don't think that's as prolific. I don't think that's as like good a strategy to make that money quickly. I think you want to earn and burn on these guys as fast as possible.
Yeah. I think what you're kind of talking yourself through is who would you rather take out of Egan and Khan's. And right at this stage, I'd probably lean towards Khan's just given the time of year. I mean, even it's a really difficult decision. I'm currently planning on getting both if I can. I think they're both great options. Very happy to see Gajewski gone off my bench and bring in Dylan Egan. I know he's going to get 40 to 50 minutes. I know Flano loves that bring someone onto the middle, take Luch off late, put him to the edge. He showed that early in the season. That's his play for that rotation there. So I think he's guaranteed 45 minutes, if not 50 minutes each week. And he looks hungry. He looks hungry. He looks like a good player. He's going to base churn it out. And if somehow he finds his way starting edge, even better. So, yeah, very, very happy to pick up Egan. 198K, can't go wrong there.
No, I think he's the safer pick. That'd be fair. Like if you want to be a bit conservative and just make sure that you've got a guy who's going to be around, then you could really get blessed with him starting at some point as well. He doesn't play round 12. Not that, I mean, that'll probably come into it. You'll probably hold him through to 12 if you buy him now. And hopefully by that stage, he's 450K for you. Look, yeah, I think Cant is a higher upside, quicker money grab pick who's playable in your 17. Egan, not playable in your 17 ever, not until he starts. More secure role, I would say, in the team. Cant, this is also not to say Cant couldn't go back to the bench and get a 40 to 50 minute role and be awesome. Like he'll do enormous damage in that type of role. I just think the range of outcomes, just a call out to Jono here, who's told me that I've patented the term range of outcomes. Very true. It's definitely within the range of outcomes that Thomas Cant's role just has all these positive variables that we just can't even think of at the moment. But we know what we do know is he's starting on the left edge this week. And that means he's going to make 140K at a bare minimum. So, yeah, I'm going with Cant at this stage. And, yeah, good luck to everyone with that pick. And look, Egan, if Egan does end up starting next week or something, he could be on the menu at, you know, 275, 300K next week.
Yeah. I think this week, particularly with Tino not playing, like myself, I'm running light in 2RF from front row forwards. With those bench spots as well. I think you'd pick up Card this week because you can play him. That's a good way to look at it. I guess, Matt, I'd rather go on a who would you rather. If you could only pick one, Thomas Card or Sua Wong, who would you pick at the prices?
Wong. I see Egan and Card as both, like, good money-making picks, but I just see Wong as, like, either keeper till the end of the year or at least keeper through the buys. So, yeah, I'd have to go Wong would be my number one buyer this week in terms of those guys. Like, those guys are enablers, good money spinners. But, yeah, I think Wong's still the better pick.
Late Miller, fierce to the right, inside.
Oh!
Bateman! Yes!
Let's move on to halfback now, Dan. Spent a good bit of time at the 2RF, very important position this week. Not a ton going on at halfback. We got Hugo Savala, named for the Chooks. He's 198K, break even at 45, interestingly. He can't go any lower, so but he's got to go a bit higher to get that score up. He's got an average of 60 in cup. Take a look at him. Jamie Humphreys, obviously a very clear sell. He's injured with that hammy, and he scored a one on the weekend, so his cash generation is stunted for now. Nathan Cleary, Dan, 688K, BE of 114. He had a good game on the weekend. Could have been a lot more.
Yeah, could have been a lot more. I think that's pretty standard average game for Cleary on the weekend. So I think do anything you can to bring him in. He's number one on the halfback selection.
Few people selling off Nico Hines after a more disappointing performance. I think the boys on the snap summed it up well. You just can't have the same expectations, but those big scores are still going to be there. I think it's too sideways to be looking at Jerome Hughes, even though I do think Hughes will outscore Hines in the next month. Would that be fair?
Yeah, definitely sideways. I would not be doing that trade. I mean, I'm in the position where I'm a Nico owner, and, yeah, I'm not looking at Hughes at this stage. There's so many other attacking opportunities and players at the Storm you could pick up. You don't need to drop someone like Nico Hines to do that. Definitely on the menu if you go, who are you going to upgrade Jamie Humphreys to?
Yep.
And who would you rather at the moment? I definitely probably say go for Jerome Hughes, ultra pod.
If you own Cleary already.
Yeah.
Go definitely. Cleary so first. Cleary's still first pick.
Yeah. So if you own Cleary and Humphreys in this particular scenario, which a few coaches will be out there will have, I would look at Jerome Hughes. He looked great on the weekend.
Yep. Now the projected scores that we've had a look at have Hughes averaging about 10 points more than Hines over the next 5 weeks, but like, I think it's still too sideways. Like you said, there's plenty of Storm attacking weapons, and you can really upgrade your side by more than that 10 points by going sideways from Hines to Hughes. Like, I just don't see it. I don't see the point whatsoever. Hines is a great pick in a vacuum. If you're starting again today, I'd be very, very tempted by Hughes. But yeah, I think that's spot on. Let's get down to 5'8 now, Dan. And not as much going on at 5'8 this week. Cam Munster, still very popular. He had a score of 91 on the weekend, or 92. Might have even updated higher, actually. 93. There you go. He's the most popular 5'8 by a mile now. The one I wanted to start at here, Dan, to touch on, Luke Metcalf is still massively owned, 32.6% owned at time of recording. 498K, break even at 76. I can't understand this.
Is he being sold this week massively?
Okay, so not really. 1.6% of teams still own. Have sold him off. 32.6% still own. He was sold off last week to the tune of about sort of 11, 12% of teams, but still the vast majority of owners have held.
Yeah. I think people are in different situations to us, Matty, that their teams are on fire. Like, they've got so many things to put out. Maybe Metcalf just isn't the worry.
Oh, you mean they've got fires to put out, not they're on fire doing so well.
As in their team is burning down and they've got to put out fires everywhere.
Call the fire brigade. Gotcha.
Yeah, and I understand that 5'8 isn't probably the position you need to swing about this year. You definitely don't need two premiums. I've been lucky enough that, you know, things are looking good elsewhere, that I've been able to upgrade to Campbell and Munster early. But I definitely can see, if you've got other issues elsewhere, leaving Metcalf isn't the worst thing. But, you know, there are a couple of options you can definitely go to. And right now, like, still Campbell, even though, like, he had an absolute shocker on the weekend in terms of Supercoach output and the Titans in general, still scored a 52, had a disallowed try to try assist and line break assist to bump him up to 70. And that looked like a pretty average game for him. So I think he's still an option this week if you want to go in.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't go Campbell this week if I didn't own Munster. I think Munster's far and away the best pick at 5'8 at the moment. 646K, like, so cheap still. I can see why he's the most highly owned 5'8 with that draw as well. He's obviously nowhere near as draw dependent as some of those other Storm players. Like, he's got a career full of big scores against good teams. But yeah, look, Campbell just worries me a little bit. Like, we've obviously seen he's got a pretty solid floor. He was close. If he could have got that trial out on the weekend, he gets a score close to 80. So, look, there's no doubt that he'll have much better games than that. Just at 719K, I feel like you can do better with that amount of money, looking at, you know, spending it on Eli Katoa or somewhere else, even in the center wing. So I would be recommending Munster. Dan, the Tigers boys, Adam Dewey is one I want to talk about. He was on the radar to sell last week for Tom Jenkins, for those with him at center. He had a 39. He's now 464K. His break-even's gone back up above 50. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it's not down in the 20s, which is where it was. I'm just questioning whether you can really use that Dewey money to more effect. And, like, we've quoted on here that he's got that jewel and it's handy, blah, blah, blah. But I'm wondering now if you can put that money to work, and maybe the jewel in this case is not worth it, because that role just doesn't look anywhere near good enough to me.
Yeah, but if you've got him and he's at your second 5'8 spot at the moment, absolutely fine to just leave him there for now. Like, you don't need to upgrade to another gun 5'8". You know that he can drop down to the center wing at some stage. He still hasn't had any attack this year, really. So I think his floor is good enough to have him as not an AE issue. A little bit of cash. I just think there's more pressing things to do if you've still got him in your team. Like,
oh, no, I agree, but my point is more, how can you get that money to work? Like, you just don't. Like, you can get that money downgraded to a cheapy, you know, 2RF or center wing if you can flip the jewels. I just feel like it's dead money. You can't play him. You can't play him in your 7-8.
No, you can't, but you can't flip him to those guys sometimes without bringing in a 5'8". So I just, like it's very team dependent in that sense. Like if you've only got one gun 5'8" and Dewey's your next, like I think you just got to leave him there. Like there's no other option. If you've got him in the center wing, yeah, of course you could upgrade him to a premium. The likes of Herbie, Lomax, some of those guys kind of bottoming out for sure. But if he's in your second 5'8", just leave him there for now. See what happens.
Lockie Galvin, he's probably not on the radar as a buy. He still looks good, but they're just not quite a good enough team, I think, for to be going Galvin over Campbell or Munster.
Yeah, just not for now. Definitely an option. Like, he looks absolutely great. I think he's definitely pushing for that top two 5'8 for the year. I think he will definitely rival Munster and Campbell. Potentially through Origin, you might go the switch from Munster to Galvin, depending on what's happening around Origin, injuries, restings, that sort of thing. But not for now.
Yep. And then last one here down at 5'8", Dillbags, Dylan Brown. He had a much better score on the weekend. Looked like he was running the ball a lot more. 93. 612K now. You'd think that's probably as cheap as he gets for a while. They've got the buy, though, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he was 580K last week, and I had a really good look at him. I'm like, can Parra turn it around? It looked exceptional for them on the weekend. A little bit more go forward, him getting the ball early, and with the defense backpedaling a little bit, his running game came out massively. And for Yongi owners like myself, it just meant that Yongi got earlier ball. It looks so much better from a Parramatta perspective. So Dill Brown's still very good. I think he's a decent pickup at 612. Just with what we've talked about, the other premiums, probably not worth going to for a second 5'8 at the moment.
That's as close as you've watched an NRL game this year, I can tell. King Gutho, captain, Yongi tonning up. It looked good, Dylan Brown. You just had your eye all over it.
Jeez, the 5 a.m. start was definitely worth it. That was a great game. Great Super Coach good game.
Let's get down to the centre wing, Dan, and let's start with premium. Reuben Garrick, 806K, break-even of 134, and just under 40% owned in the game. He obviously had that huge score a couple of weeks ago. That's rolled out of his average now. And Super Coaches, they're not selling in swarms yet, but I think there's going to be a few get tempted to cash in at that 800K, and I know you're one of them that's potentially looking to trade him out this week.
Yeah, so the way the team's looking, and, you know, given break evens, given Manly's run, given they've got a bye in the next three or four, I'm not against selling him. I think 800K, high break even this week. If he gets another 50, it's going to be another high break even the week after. And, you know, I can see the reason why. It's probably not just for the cash you're looking to do it, it's so you can solidify another position. So for me, it's looking, if I drop Garrick to another ultra premium in the likes of Herbie Farnworth, Zach Lomax, even go down a little bit to some of the 600K guys, you can then upgrade to an Eli Katoa in the second row. That's why I would be dropping. I wouldn't be dropping to say, oh, Garrick's, you know, 800K is going to lose some money. I could get him back later. And there's no plan with that. Otherwise, you can't upgrade elsewhere. I definitely would just hold him.
Yeah, I think that's very wise words. Like, you really do need to get that money going to work. I'm planning on holding at this stage just because I've got other trades to make this weekend. Like you said, he's someone who's obviously a keeper. He plays around 12, like we spoke about last week in our buy analysis. He's someone I want for round 12. He's going to be fine. Like, there's a few numbers flying around with scores with him without Turbo. That makes sense, right? Like, they're just not as good a team without Turbo. They got a 1 p.m. game this week against Cronulla. Their draw is fine. Like, they've got a few tough games. They've got a bye coming up. But look, I'm just gonna ride Garrick through and hope my other cheapies make enough money so that I can make the right upgrades or sideways moves at center wing.
Yeah. It's a very aggressive move this week, and it's going to cost you two trades because you ultimately need him in. He's top two center wings in the game, so you're going to need him back. It's just, you know, how aggressive do you want to be at this stage?
Yeah, and look, when you do want him back, it's not like you're getting him back at 500K. Like, he's going to be 650 to 700K. He's going to retain enough value that it's not really going to be worth it.
He could hit his break even this week. I reckon. Yeah. 30, you know.
Well, we've seen it. We've seen it already this year. He's got it. He's got it in the locker. He's got multiple scores over 130 through his career. Dan, young GI, Geremat Sibusaki, disappointing low score of 33 on the weekend. You didn't bring him in, did you?
I was very happy with his 33. I was even happier before he lucked out on that try at the back end.
Off the kick. Off the kick.
Yeah. The back row, what's his name? Jaden Hunt, somehow miraculous bat back straight to him. As a non-owner, like it's just been so hard to watch Sibusaki and how good he's been going. So I nearly boosted Sibusaki from Arthur's, and I'm very glad I didn't. Can't touch him now, obviously, if you're a non-owner.
Speaking of Arthur's, Dan, would you be holding through this match against the Roosters? Another good matchup. He's sort of at his price. He's got a manageable BE. Doesn't seem any urgency to sell this week.
No, but the big question is, do you actually play him or not? So I'm going to hold him just because I've got other moves to make this week. I could definitely upgrade him if I've got the cash to another premium. I don't hate that at all. I guess There's just not the plethora of cheapy center wings to downgrade to. So I think if there was a 250 sub 300, say, player who's got a really low break even, I think you could bin him straight away. And then if you're holding, it's a 50-50 call. Like two tries on the weekend, 60 points. You know, Savello Tamale, 54 with no tries, one line break. Like they're playing, you know, very happy to play Tamale this week up in Darwin. Humid conditions, dry conditions. So I'm probably going to sit Arthurs this week.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've currently playing them both, but I've got to look at Purdue as well because they've got a good game against Souths, which are actually favoured for with all Souths injuries. He's hard to catch Purdue, but yeah, there's not a lot between all those centre wings this week. Arthur's currently in my team, but yeah, Tamale, I'd be playing Tamale over Arthurs for sure this week. But he'll be an easy sell whenever it prevails. Sibusaki, same boat. Sibusaki should max out next week. And you'd be looking to move on.
No, I was just going to say on that big look towards next week as well. Jacob Carraz looked fit. They wouldn't have brought him back before the bye if he wasn't fully fit as well, which is very promising. Huge offloads, look strong with the carries. So if you want to save a little bit of money for upgrading someone like Arthur's this week, I'd save that little bit of bank and look. Because, you know, we know that centre wing is quite stacked at the moment, so you're not going to have many people to trade up towards. So if you've, you know, only got Arthur's, and rather than try to make a move this week, I'd just hold off and maybe look to Kras next week.
If I was making a move this week, Dan, there's a couple of guys who are very different ends of the spectrum. You've got Grant Anderson, who's 522K minus 22 break even for the Storm. They got that good run. I'm not really sure about his job security there. Warbrick is kind of in and out at the moment with concussion. And then you've got Greg Marju, who's coming off a couple of really bad games. He's 540K now, break even of 88. Look, I've before the Knights bye, I was really keen on getting Marju in last week, but just with that Dogs matchup, I held off, thankfully. Where would you be looking if you wanted to buy? If you wanted to go straight sideways from Arthur's, I'm not suggesting you do, but I'm just trying to compare those very different types of buys this week.
Yeah, I know. I listened to the Snap on Sunday, Tubes and Jono, and I know Tubes is considering bringing Marju in this week. It's very typical of his gameplay, very aggressive. But I don't mind it. Like Tubes obviously does a lot. He convinces people to get on with his trades. And I think the Marju buy this week is very viable. The swing from Arthur's, like if you've watched closely the Knights' last two games, it's been absolutely horrific for his go forward. For his attacking opportunities, like I've never, you know, shout out to the Dogs. They look phenomenal. Like they just stifle attacks. I'm even now looking at teams that are playing Dogs in the next three games, and that's kind of influencing my trades. So Marju will bounce back. He'll bounce back hard. He's still got a 42. He's still not putting that offload away. I think you could definitely jump on as an aggressive move this week.
Yeah, you just got to write that game off entirely for the Knights. They lost Schiller and Saifidi in the first minute. And they were just always on the back foot from then. Like Ponga, like anyone who didn't own Ponga or any Knights on the weekend, just, yeah, out of jail. Worked out perfect for non-owners. And yeah, I would definitely go Marju over Grant Anderson this week.
What are you getting? Anderson for?
If he holds his spot, if he can hold his spot and he makes some money and they've got a great draw, I could see if he had a run of games coming up, but I just think it's too risky. So I just wanted to put it out there as a bit of a comparison.
Dan, you mentioned the guys there.
On the horizon, so Lomax, Herbie, and Karaz next week. I think next week, as Arthurs and Shibasaki sort of blossom and peak out in price, those guys are really going to be on the horizon and ready to go.
Again, an aggressive play this week would go Herbie this week. You look at the draw and it's Panthers this week, Storm next week. I actually don't think they're too bad for him. So he's up against Isaac Tungo for the Panthers. That's a good matchup.
Very good matchup.
And then he goes to potentially Anderson the following week. We saw what Toloto Kula did. He looked like he was playing against young boys in that, you know, for those tries that he scored. So Herbie is bottomed out. He's 90 break even. I think he could hit it quite easily. I think he's definitely the top base plus power center wing still, and he just has had very much little attack. So very keen on Herbie. If you want to be aggressive this week, I'd pick him up.
Dan, down to fullback to round us out. Isaiah Yongi, talk of the week. He scored that big ton on the weekend, which was great for owners who held on. Not so great for those who sold. Very well done. He's just under 400K now, break even to minus 19. I don't think you can buy him. I think there's enough good cheap options elsewhere, and that taking up that fullback spot's not the place to make money.
Yeah. No, patience has been the key with Yongi. So, you know, riding him out this week.
That's really rubbing it in, Jono and others' faces who sold. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Up in the heat this weekend, he's definitely a play. You know, he's going to have the hot hands. He's another
player. Playing him. You call him play him.
Definitely. Yeah, 100%. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Paps and Ponga. I'm so keen on Ponga. I just find it very difficult to dip in at that 158, 156 break even, 767K. I do feel he could go ballistic against, I think he's in for the most points of anyone. I'd be captaining them for sure this week.
Yeah. I think it's a matter of the grass is always greener, right? Like I'm a Ponga owner and I am so scared of Pappenhausen. I just can't get him into the team with Yongi still making cash and being a bit of a play. So I am, you know, very, very scared of what Pappenhausen can do, particularly with the goal kicking. On the weekend, it was a very tough watch. He started really slow, and I think he got most of his points in the second half in the first 20 minutes. So we know what he can do. Both of them, if you can have both in your team this week, I think that would be the play. I'd get Paps and Ponga over Gutho this week for sure.
I'd definitely get Paps as the buy this week. He's the best buy fullback by a mile this week if you don't own him, in my opinion. Ponga is no one will be buying. So owners are lucky. Definitely do not sell. I can see some teams have already sold. But yeah, good. That's the one silver lining for that poor performance on the weekend is that you'll get to keep him all to yourselves this week.
Yeah. Happy with that.
Gutho, Dan, 828K. He's got highest break even of 78 this week. Well done to everyone who's jumped on. I will say that it's worth noting that his BE will drop this week again. Next week after he'll keep that 130 in his rolling average. So he should make a bit more money still. I just couldn't get my head into buying him though. Like the ship's just sailed, surely.
Ship has definitely sailed at 828K, but you know, to owners, just keep riding until he has a lowly game. I think, you know, it's incredible how involved he was in the weekend, how key he is to that Dragons attack. I just think, you know, cheaper options in proven guns in Ponga and Paps, I'd be bringing them in first.
Couple of late mentions. Teddy, great pod, hard to buy this week at that price, still want him. Reece Walsh, like when? It looks like it's going to be good. Adam Reynolds has been named, so he's not going to get the goal kicking. He's just too cheap to sell. So I think you've got to give him another week or two before making a move at fullback. I'm an owner, so I'm really hoping he can get one of these big tons sooner rather than later. And then Trell and Drinky, just leave them for now. They're stewing nicely. Trell's too expensive, playing 5'8". Drinky, just wait till his buy is done. Dan, good analysis on the positions. Let's just get very quickly into captain's chat for the weekend. Where are you looking at captains at this stage?
Yeah, so, the big thing for me was about I've wanted Herbie this week a lot, but he's playing the first game, so he'll be locked out, and I'm going to VC Cleary in that game. And if I go aggressive but I end up having to loop and I have to drop someone, then I'm in a bit of a predicament. So VC Cleary, first game, and then Sione Ponga, as you said, very, very juicy at home after a loss like that.
Yep. I'm going to be VC Cleary. Just think that he's still, even though it's like Dolphins, still a very good matchup, and I think that he'll be under vice-captain this week, so I'm keen to go there. Captain, I think I'll be Pappenhausen Sunday. The injury, the cork glute just has me a little bit worried, but I think he's got the best matchup. Gutho, also a very good VC option, I think, this week as well. So, Jaden Campbell will score well, but I think there's too many better options than him this week. Dan, finally, pot of the week. We're behind time, so I'm going to rush through mine. Fletcher Sharp, I've teased him last week. I think he's in for a massive few weeks coming up. I thought he looked brilliant on Sunday against the Dogs, even though they couldn't get out of first gear the Knights just because they couldn't get on the front foot. But I think if you want a pod, my God, Big Fletch.
Yeah, you know my thoughts on Big Fletch. Well, yeah. Well, last few weeks, how many texts have I sent you?
Was he your pod of the week as well?
Well, he could have been. I was on the phone to the Podfather this week trying to spruik him into his team. He was talking Grant Anderson. I'm like, mate, just go up 110K with someone like Fletcher Sharp. Come on, Potty. But really like him. If I wasn't so stacked, if I didn't have Marju and Ponga, I would definitely be bringing in Sharp this week just to make him moves.
Have you got a pot of the week, just quickly?
I've talked about him at length, young Herbert. I don't know if he's pod, but he's definitely going to be a pod purchase this week. Herbie Farnworth.
Herbie Farnworth. I like that. He is a pod. He's definitely a pod, 4% owned. All right, Dan, as I said, we're a bit behind time, so thank you very much. Appreciate the long pod tonight. Good work getting back in the top 1K, and let's keep it going.
Yeah, cheers, Manny. Geez, we can just talk Supercoach on and on. We'll try to shorten it next time.
Yeah, what a beauty. All right, thanks, everyone. We'll catch you next week.